Would you turn back to Luke chapter 9? While you're turning there, tonight I'm going to be speaking from Matthew chapter 7 on this subject: hearing, doing, and not doing. Now, I've entitled the message for this morning, "The Christ of God." In Acts chapter 8, verse 5, we read where Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And I fear that that can be cliche as far as people using that term, preach Christ. And I pray that's not what takes place this morning, but that Christ might be preached. Verse 18 of Luke chapter 9. "And it came to pass." I love that phrase, "it came to pass," because everything that God determines comes to pass. "It came to pass as he was alone praying." And I love to think about the Lord being alone praying to his Father. His prayers were so much different and are so much different than our prayers. Oh, the communion that he enjoyed with his Father. And I think it's glorious the way it says, "and as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him." Isn't that neat? Even when he's alone, we're with him all the time, united to him. "And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am?" Verse 19, "then answering, said," well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others that one of the old prophets, like Jeremiah or someone like that, is risen from the dead. Now, they put the Lord Jesus Christ in some high company, didn't they? These were great men, but he was not any of those men. What they said was not true. "Whom say the people that I am?" Now, people have so many different opinions, don't they? Men's opinions are different and varied. Error is always multiple choice. They were contradictory. He couldn't be John the Baptist or one of the old prophets or Elijah. Their answers were all contradictory. And the people made Christ out to be lower than he is. Low views of the person of Christ is behind every error and every sin. Whereas right views of the Christ is the foundation of all truth. Now, without commenting upon what the people said, he said unto them, verse 20, "but whom say you that I am?" Now, this is a far more important question. Whom say you that I am? Not what have you heard others say, not what have you been taught to say, but whom do you say that I am? Would to God that Christ would speak to each one of us, even now, with this question: whom say you that I am? What are your thoughts regarding me? When God looks in your heart, what are the thoughts he sees regarding me? Now, this is the issue. What think ye of Christ? This is the issue between you and God. What do you think of the Christ? Not what do you think of abortion, gun control, or gay rights. Not what do you think of Christian involvement in government. Not what do you think of the believer's relationship with the law. not what do you think about the end times and eschatology. Here is the only issue. Let me repeat that. Here is the only issue. What do you think of Christ? What are your personal thoughts regarding the Christ? Everything hinges on this. Everything else you believe will be determined by this. Your view of the Scriptures, your view of law and grace, your view of faith and repentance, your understanding of the atonement, everything hinges right here. What do you think of the Christ? You see, what we believe is determined by who we believe. Somebody says, well, I know what I believe. That's not what Paul said. He said, I know whom I have believed. And then persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Whom say ye that I am? Verse 20. Peter answering. Peter's good to answer, isn't he? He answers a lot. Sometimes his answers are not very good. But this one is great. Peter answering said, the Christ of God. It was told to Simeon that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when he had seen the Lord's Christ and held him in his arms, he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The Lord was casting out some demons, and the Scripture says regarding those demons, they knew he was Christ. The Lord is talking to that woman at the well, and she says, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he'll tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. She said, come see a man who told me all I ever did. Is not this the Christ? The Lord had been preaching, and he lost his audience. 5,000 people left. And as he watched them leave, he said to his 12 disciples, will you also go away? Peter answered, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Caiaphas said, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, he said, God hath made this same Jesus. I hear preachers say, won't you make Jesus the Lord of your life? God's already done it. God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. He said in Romans 5:6, when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And I love this scripture. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. But he did this. But it's Christ that died. But he was guilty of this. It is Christ that died. No other answer is needed. That is the power of the Christ. Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Every thought is to be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We read of the simplicity of Christ and the grace of Christ, and justified by the faith of Christ. We read that Christ is all. And Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And you know, that doesn't even make grammatical sense, but it makes all the spiritual sense in the world. For me to live is Christ. John said, whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The Christ of God. The Christ of God's providing. Now, Christ, you know, is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. It means God's anointed. It speaks of the offices of Christ. In the Old Testament, there were three persons that were anointed by God. The king was anointed. You remember when they anointed David king? The prophet was anointed. Elijah was told to anoint Elisha as prophet. The priest was anointed. Samuel was anointed the priest of God. The prophet, the priest, and the king. Now, in the Old Testament, no man ever held all three offices. Moses was king. Moses was a mighty prophet, but Moses was no priest. David was a king. David was a prophet. But David wouldn't dare try to offer up a sacrifice. Samuel was a priest. And Samuel was a mighty prophet. But he was no king. No mere man could hold all three of these offices. But the Christ of God holds all three offices. He's a prophet. He's the prophet. I shouldn't say he's a prophet, he's the prophet. Remember when Moses said, a prophet will the Lord your God raise like unto me, him you will hear. Now what is a prophet? A prophet is a man who speaks for God. Now Christ is more than a man that speaks as a prophet for God. He is the thing spoken. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, the only way you can know what's going on in here with me is by the words that come out. You can guess, you can speculate, but the only way you can actually know what's going on in my mind is by the words that come out. If you want to know the mind of God, the word that comes out is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mind. He is the word. He is the expression of God's mind. No man, our Lord said, has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He is the prophet of God's providing. And what a mercy that is. Because you and I, by nature, do not know God and cannot know God. And you can write this down. Every thought that you and I have about God is wrong by nature. Thou thoughtest, God said, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as yourself. Well, I think it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. Turn with me for a moment to 2 Kings chapter 5. He is the Word. He is the prophet of God. 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1. Now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He thought he was a great man who happened to be a leper. He didn't realize he was a leper who happened to be a great man. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel, one who speaks for God, one who says the truth, one who tells us who God is." So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elijah. I love that. He comes there with all of his mighty men and his chariots and his fine changes of gold, and he waits for the prophet to come out to him. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. I love that. He sent a lowly messenger unto him. See, Elisha had some wisdom. He knew what this man was expecting. And he just sent a messenger out unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought." There's where he got in trouble. "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Oh, he had it all figured out the way it ought to be. "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times, not 6, 7, according to the saying of the prophet, according to the saying of the man of God. And can you imagine that 7th time when he came out of the water, all of a sudden his flesh was clean? You see, we are totally dependent upon this prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, for revelation. You and I cannot know God unless he is pleased to reveal himself to us. The only way you'll ever know, the only way I'll ever know the living God, is if he is pleased to make himself known. The Lord said in Matthew 11, 25 through 27, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've revealed these things to babes, but you've hid them from the wise and the prudent. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father." I'm so great, I'm so infinitely great, that the only one who can know me is the Father. "Neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." The Lord replied, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Now he's the Word of God, and all you and I will ever know of God is as he is pleased to make himself known as the very Word, the mind of God. He's the Word. Don't you love that name of his, the Word of God? The Lord Jesus Christ is the anointed priest of God. Christ is not his last name. Christ is his offices as the prophet of God and the priest of God. We need a prophet because we're so ignorant and are dependent upon him for revelation. We need a priest because we're so sinful. And we have no access to a holy God in and of ourselves. And we need him to come into God's presence for us. God is holy. We're sinful. We can't approach him. But thank God there is a great high priest. A priest that will represent me before God. Now, I love that passage of scripture in John chapter 17 verse 9 when he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Now, the Lord says that in no uncertain terms. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me. For they are thine. Oh, the glorious office of the Lord Jesus Christ as a priest. Not only do I need him to bring the word of God to me, I need him to bring me to God. And that's what he does as a priest. Now, there are three qualifications for a priest. First, he must be a man. A man must represent men. I need a man to represent me. Secondly, he must be sinless. If he has sin, he can't approach the Father. He can't do anything more than I can. He must be sinless. And thirdly, he must be divine. He must be God. You see, only God can satisfy God. And this priest, he must be man, he must be sinless, and he must be God. Now, why is that? Well, man sinned. Man sinned, and man must die. But the blood, the death of a mere man could never satisfy the justice of God because sin is an infinite evil. The reason hell lasts eternally is because God is never satisfied. Man sinned. Man must die, but man must satisfy, but man can't satisfy. Only God can satisfy. You know the only one who can satisfy God? God. You believe that? The only one who can satisfy the living God is God himself. But there's a problem. God can't die. Man cannot satisfy. God cannot die. But the God-man did both. He satisfied and he died. And he didn't stay dead. He was raised. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who has access to the Father. The Lord Jesus is the only one who could satisfy the demands of God's holy law, perfect obedience. And the Lord Jesus is the only one who could satisfy the penalty of the broken law. God raised him from the dead because God said, I'm satisfied with what he did. You know the reason he didn't go into the process of decay the way you and I will when we were dying? Because the moment he died, complete satisfaction was rendered to God. And God says, I am satisfied. And God looks at me because of the death of Christ and says, I can't ask any more out of him. I wouldn't ask any more out of him. He's perfect in my sight. That's the work of our great high priest. As priest, he brings his own blood into the very presence of God. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be, anybody know the next word? Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And he intercedes for us. Now He came to God for us. He brought us into God's presence. And even right now, he intercedes for us, as our great high priest. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. I want to read this scripture. Verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Now listen, the gospel's a bloody religion. And without the shedding of blood, the blood of God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no remission. But by His shedding of blood, there is complete remission. Remission. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, if all we dealt with was the cross, it would be a widening rather than a narrowing of our ministry. I like that, don't you? Go on reading verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these animal sacrifices. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now. Get that word now. Now, right this second, to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And beloved, that's what he did. He put away sin. And as it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, the intercession of Christ. Let me just quote some scriptures. I don't think they need too much comment. Brethren, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. That's what the Lord says to us. Don't sin. Anybody got any problem with that? Don't sin. When you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's no crooked lawyer. He's Jesus Christ the righteous. And let me tell you something about this lawyer. He's like no other lawyer. He makes you plead guilty. And yet, he causes you to be without guilt. Justified. Is there any lawyer like that? Remember when he said to Peter, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Can you imagine the Lord taking your name before his Father? That's what he does. I pray not for the world, he said, but for them which you've given me. When he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I'll tell you this, everybody he prayed for, the Father forgave. The Father never says no to the Son. That wasn't some kind of generic prayer. No, everybody he prayed for was forgiven completely by the Father. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. But that's not the end of the verse. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Oh, the intercession of Christ. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know what I'm doing? I'm coming to God by him. You know what that means? When he comes, I come too, because I'm in him. And he's the only way I approach God. He's prophet. We need him to reveal God to us. He's priest. We need him to bring us to God. He's the Christ of God, and he is God's King. The prophet of God, the priest of God, and the King of God. A king is one who reigns, whose will is law, whose will must be done. He's the king of the physical universe. I like thinking about that, don't you? I mean, every particle of dust that flies through the air, the galaxies, the weather, men, animals, plants, demons, everybody is under his thumb and under his control. He's the king. He's not only the king of the universe, he's the king of grace. You know, he sits on a throne that is called in Hebrews 4:16 the throne of grace. Don't you love that name for his throne? The throne of grace. He's the king of providence. Everything that happens is his will being done. And he's the king of grace. Now, I need him. I talked about my need for him as a prophet. And I do need him as a prophet, don't you? I need him to bring the word of God to me and to reveal himself to me. I need him as a priest to bring me into God's presence. I told you this recently. One of the favorite things I've ever heard Bruce Crabtree say was he said he'd lost all hope and he just felt like he was reprobated. He said he was falling down on his bed, and during the time he was falling on his bed, he said, "Plea for me. Plea for me. Pray for me. Talk to the Lord." He said, and between the time I started falling and I hit the bed, I had peace. He prayed for me. I need him as my priest, but I also need him as my king to make me, as king of grace, one of his subjects. You know, the scripture says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I need him to make me poor. Well, it's a good thing to be poor, isn't it? It's a good thing to have nothing, because when you have nothing, that's when Christ is everything to you. I need him to make me willing. Psalm 110:3 says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." I need him to make me willing. I need him to make me a little child. The Lord said, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, I need to be converted. I need him to convert me, to cause me to be this little child in need of him. You know, the scripture says regarding his kingship, he's King of kings and Lord of lords, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. I need him to call me. I need him to choose me. I need him to cause me to be faithful. I need him as king to rule and reign over me and cause me to do his will. I need him as king. I need him just as much king as I need him as prophet, and I need him as priest. I need him as king to cause me to do his will. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I need him as my king. Now, he's the Christ of God. Now, I'm not asking you if you know that you're a Christian. I'm not asking you if you know for sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're with, beyond any shadow of a doubt, one of God's elect. I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking you if you know that Christ died for your sins and they've all been put away. I'm not asking you if you know that you've been born of the Spirit and have been regenerated and have a new nature and a new heart. I'm not asking you that. But I am asking you this. What do you say of Jesus Christ? Can you say with Peter, when the Lord says, "Who do you say that I am?" Can you say with Peter, "The Christ of God"? And you know what John said? He said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, "Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Word says you are born of God. The Christ of God. You know, I like thinking, he's the Christ. I love the Christ. And I love the Christ of God. Not the Christ of men's inventions. It's nowhere like the one in Scripture. But the Christ of God. Now we're going to have a baptism now. Rebecca Vincent is going to confess Christ in believer's baptism.